Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
Town Talk powered this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. It's Riverside Center for the Performing Arts this morning. Patrick Ahern is here. And as usual, we have some guests that we'll introduce you to in just a second. Morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Ted. If I may just take a moment to break away from showbiz for a second. And my baby sister is celebrating a birthday today, 27th of July, Maureen Dodd. And I just want her to know that I'm saying, I'll be calling her, I know that. But I wanted her to know that I'm wishing her a happy birthday today and sending her love. Okay.
That is excellent, and I actually know her too. And
you do know her too.
Happy birthday, Maureen!
Yeah, and this is her first birthday as a grandma too, because she's got little Cosette now.
So, yeah.
Caitlin's little girl. So,
glad you mentioned that.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday! She lives locally. Guess who's coming to dinner? I guess we could say guess who's coming to breakfast this morning.
Well, that's true.
Kind of fit in here this morning. This is I can't wait to see this, just because it is a great. It was a great movie. There are certain parts of that movie that just stay with me.
Yeah.
And much of them were Katharine Hepburn. She teared up so many times. But
yeah.
the one scene that, well, I'm looking forward to see. The ending is so dramatic to me. I mean, it's just, I don't know that anybody breathes at the end.
Yeah.
How that is. But when her daughter is telling her who she's dating.
Yes.
And he comes in.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
just a dramatic scene.
There's many moments like that I hate to say replicated, but because the play is slightly different, but it's incredibly well done. I have said this many times as we've done this show, but I remember I might have been, 5 years old, not quite old enough to not supposed to remember a lot of things from way back then, but I remember my mother and father wanted to see that movie, and they went to the drive-in movie. And of course, they didn't take my sister and I to see Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Well, actually, knowing my parents, they probably did. I can still see in my head, sitting in that back seat, and certain moments of that movie, and I remember how much of an impression it made at such a young age, and that movie's always stayed with me. And you know, sometimes it'll pop up on AMC or different television stations, and I still, when you watch it, it just seems still kind of fresh, luckily they put together a stage adaptation, and I think they did a really, really great job. It actually premiered at Arena Stage back in the early 2000s before it did have a Broadway run. And I've been wanting to do it, and it has not been easy getting this show up.
No.
With many, peaks and valleys and postponements, but
you've got a great cast, though.
It is up, and our wonderful director, Anita Gonzalez, who was a professor at Georgetown University in theater, she said it best at the first read-through, the first rehearsal of this cast. The people in this room are the ones that were meant to be here to do this play, and no truer words could be said, because this is an outstanding cast.
Yeah. And you've got two cast members here this morning.
We do. Should I?
You should.
Should I introduce them?
You should.
Well, we've got Robert Biederman, who's becoming a veteran now at Riverside Center, and happily so. But Robert has done several shows.
All just terrific. I mean, there are moments in some of the shows that just stand out to me that you've been in.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Good morning.
And when we, unfortunately, Joe Insko, who was originally scheduled to play the role of Matt Drayton, actually Robert Biederman was supposed to play the Monsignor. So, but when that all went down, he's the first person I thought. Mm-hmm. I just thought, this is the guy. And then, of course, Joyce DeWitt, for many ups and downs with what she's been through, she went and broke her arm 10 days before she was supposed to be here for rehearsals. And once again, I went to a real trooper, Kathy Helenda. And Kathy and Robert together, they were supposed to be together in Bright Star. As Mama and Daddy Murphy.
Yeah.
And, of course, Robert did it, but Kathy went on the road with Tootsie. But now they get to work off of each other, and it's just a really great pairing. And the gentleman in the center here is a newcomer to Riverside. Hopefully it will not be his last, as far as I'm concerned, but Mark Lyon, and he is just... I can't say enough about his performance in this show. It's really terrific, and just a fine man, a fine gentleman. You know, you look for the talent, you know, because that's important. But it's always nice when you get nice people to work with, and you know how that's been working out at Riverside lately. With we've really really been blessed with casts who are, you know, get along and create a family in the project. And I think that only lends itself to these great pieces of theater we do, because if the natural chemistry is working, then of course the chemistry on stage is definitely going to work. So so welcome, Mark. It's so nice to have
Good
you
morning.
As part of this cast. Yeah.
What an important show this is. Just it's you think about this, the show, Mark, that came out in what was it, late 1967.
Yeah.
But boy, it still is so relevant to today.
Oh yeah. Sadly.
Yeah. As I thought about it, and this just occurred to me this morning, and I had to look it up. 1967 was when the Loving case in Virginia, in Caroline County.
Exactly.
That's when that was taking place. So I mean, this was a local issue.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, and just a year before the assassination of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy.
Yeah. When you decided to do this, and this is a non-musical, and you said this was a play that was on your radar, Patrick.
Yeah, basically, it's as easy as this. When Riverside never did plays. It was always musicals.
Yeah.
And I just think a full experience of live theater, you've got to have both, you know. Not every musical works, not every play works, but there's also people out there that don't, they don't care for musicals, you know. They're people that they want to see something, and they don't want to hear somebody singing about, you know, taking a bath or singing about the girlfriend down the street, or, you know, they want the text to continue without notes. And I think you got to have a mix. And back in 2014, I believe it was, we had a gap to fill because West Side Story was requiring me to postpone because of rights and all that kind of stuff. And I had to fill a spot of about 6 weeks, and I said, we're going to do a play. And I thought, if we're going to do our first thing, I bring my audiences in with something that's familiar. You know, we just can't come out of the gate. There's many spectacular pieces of theater, especially dramas and comedies, but I had to have it with some name value. So I thought, having been a hit film, Steel Magnolias would be great, and it was.
Yeah.
And then second thing we did was Driving Miss Daisy, and that became one of our all-time highest-selling shows. We averaged, it was nearly 1,400 people a week that came in, with Karen Grassley, who played Ma Engels on Little House on the Prairie. So what I've been doing is sticking with things that are familiar to our audiences. And and also, you know me, Ted, I love to entertain, but I also like to do something that has some relevance and that could possibly, you know, tap into people's psyche and make them think differently about the world. So generally that happens really well with play. And the familiarity of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, you know, as a film, our core of our audience that comes into Riverside would know it, and hence my choice.
Guess Who's Coming to Dinner through September 4th, Riverside Center for the Performing Arts, riversidedt.com or 370-4300. We'll be back and talk more. We'll jump into the play and talk about what you'll see on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Riverside Center for the Performing Arts this morning. Patrick Ahern is here along with Robert Biederman and Mark Lyons. They are all involved with Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. It's at Riverside through September the 4th. Robert, as somebody, and when I heard you were going to do this, I mean, I thought you'll be the perfect, you fit this part perfectly, especially when you think about the movie and all of that.
Yeah, it's a role of a lifetime. And if anybody asked me before this whole situation ever came to be, what is your favorite moment in any form of art, be it movies, theater, it's the monologue that the father says at the end of the movie.
I wondered that.
That's always been something I've always wanted to learn for audition purposes. And when I was originally cast as the Monsignor Ryan, I was very excited because he sits there in the room when that monologue is delivered. So I was excited that I would be in the space at least to hear it every run, because it's a great, great monologue. Of course, how I react as the Monsignor cannot anywhere near be how I react when I'm actually doing that monologue now. I mean, our Monsignor is not weeping and being tormented by what he's saying. So it's a different experience doing the monologue. But the interesting thing is I was cast a good 2 months before the show, well, even more than that. So once I got my script, and then the change in casting happened after I learned all the Monsignor lines. So when I'm doing the scene with the Monsignor, I already know exactly what he's going to say. And if he goes up on a line or changes something, I know exactly that. No, that's, I have it memorized. But it's interesting because I feel like I'm talking to myself sometimes. But doing this role is really a roller coaster ride. But sadly, or just reality-wise, I'm going to be 72. I grew up in the times where I'm a perfect 60s child. All my teen years were in the 60s. Hmm. And so I went through all the race relations that were happening in our country at the time. And so how I grew up, being a son of in a military family, I have different viewpoints of what I saw the world to be. But to do that monologue is everything to me. It's a long one, and it ends the show.
Yeah,
it's like the song in Nonsense that Khadijah did at the end. I call it the 11th hour monologue instead of 11th hour song, but it is a wonderful, wonderful piece.
Oh, it is. And as I remember it, you're never quite sure. I mean, it's got to be, like you say, just a role of a lifetime to be able to do that, because that particular monologue, you're never quite sure where he's going, because he goes to, as he talks to each of the people.
Each one of them, yeah.
And you never are quite sure until the very end what he's going to say.
Well, I'm still deciding when I have made the decision. It's still not really clear to me where was the turning point where I say what I say at the end. We don't want to give up
right.
the ending.
Yeah.
But it actually happens. I think it happens a lot later than when people see the movie. I think his decision is actually made later in the show, maybe even during the monologue.
Wow. Interesting. Mark Lyons, for you, I can't wait to see you in this role too, because I met you a few weeks ago, just briefly, and I just think you're again the perfect
thank you the
perfect temperament, and it's I'm sure it's tough for you too. I mean, you're playing a really interesting role where, and especially, you know, in the movie, you can tell with Sidney Poitier he knows what's going on. He judges, especially right away with Katharine Hepburn, that she's very all of a sudden uneasy.
Yeah, it's difficult for John. I sympathize with him a lot throughout the entire, especially the first act, because he's so polite and mm-hmm. so agreeable in moments where it gets a little offensive. It gets a little uncomfortable, specifically for him. And there's only a real moment, as Robert was just talking, that monologue that he gives in Act Two to his father, but in front of everyone. That's such a iconic monologue, specifically for Black actors. You know, that is the monologue that got me into college years ago, you know, for my college audition. So it's been with me for years. So the weight of actually now delivering it night after night, day after day, is just remarkable. And especially because the legacy of the late, great Sidney Poitier is just something that you have to live with every day, but also put to the side in order to do justice to this role of John. Because at the end of the day, he's just a man in love. And I think that's what drives me through the entire show, is that he's in love. And he's trying to really push through all of the negativity, all of the questions, the concerns, all of the comments that, you know, are not necessarily agreeable to what he believes, but he understands. And so, just like what you just said, he understands, but sometimes a little bit to his discredit. John, it's okay to speak up a little bit, but he can't, obviously.
Well, and you both have some really iconic, because you mentioned the scene with your father. That's a pretty important scene too.
It's the only time throughout the entire, without giving anything away, that you can truly understand how John feels.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an important moment for him as much as it is for everyone else. And I think that's how the beauty of what the writer did, by making sure that it's heard by whoever needs to hear it. Because it's an important moment for John just to state his case, basically.
And the other thing, I guess, Robert, is with the way this play is written, you've sort of... Your character, I mean, they I think feel like they understand the world and they can handle things, and all of a sudden you're thrust into something that's your own family.
I'm looking at the world through my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not ever trying to put the shoes of a Black man on and see the world through their eyes. When you mentioned the monologue, when people watch the movie, the monologue at the end of the movie, the best part of it is the filming of Katharine Hepburn, because she doesn't have a single line in the scene.
I never thought of it. You're right.
She has not a single line, and she is mesmerizing, the way the tears.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that it took them 5 different filming sessions in the morning to just film that one monologue, because and the tears that she shed in the monologue, that she's crying, had nothing to do with the monologue. It had to do with the fact that he died 2 weeks later. That was his last moment, and he could only work a couple hours in the morning. So it took him 10 hours to film that one monologue. And it's just knowing all of that and how important their personal relationship. Yeah, I think how he looks at the world, you know, if you look at the world and not live in the world, it's a completely different experience. And there's a wonderful moment where the two mothers talk, and she says, how would we have ever talked? They talk about the number of words sentences they share between races. And unless you're living in the world with everybody included, you really don't interact with the race of, and it goes from black to white or white to black. If you're not making an attempt to connect, well, then neither one will ever know anything about the other. And this show is more about reach out, and you're going to find out that their world is very similar, but still different.
Well, Patrick, this is so different of just our show today than we usually do. It's just fascinating to me that just how important this, what you're doing at Riverside, but also that this movie was.
Yeah, I mean, it's different things, different emotions, different settings. It makes what we do. I always say our job is to entertain, but if we can provoke thought, if mm-hmm. we can stir emotions, if we can make people cry, of course, laugh, it's important work. You know, so many times people think that, oh, well, it's the theater and it's, oh, those crazy theater kids having fun. And,
yeah.
You know, it's not a real job. But it is. It's a business. And that's why it's called show business. And that's what makes it interesting for what we do here in the community. It's what makes it interesting for the show that I'm doing with you this morning with these gentlemen. When you can say, wow, this is different than maybe any show we've done before.
I think so.
That's what makes mm-hmm. it worth living in this world is the variety. And if more people understood that, if everybody came out of their little cocoons and realized that, you know, in this instance, doesn't matter what color your skin is, love is love, and family is family, and how people relate to each other is all the same.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know, I grew up in central New York. My dad was mayor of our town. He was always involved in politics, but I'm sure there are certain things that were part of my life or whatever, but to me it was never an issue. My parents raised me that, you know, everybody is just as good as everybody else.
Yeah,
you know?
Same here.
And yep. But it's amazing to me to be faced with it in certain areas of this country that I almost think it's like, am I in a caricature? Like, is this really, really happening? And especially today, it's shocking. So getting back to, you know, your question, it's important that we do stuff like this.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky and proud that I have a job that allows me to bring a show like this to Riverside. Yeah.
Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, tourstaffordva.com. Riverside Center for the Performing Arts. Guess who's coming to dinner through September the 4th? Tickets are riversidedt.com or 370-4300. We'll continue this conversation when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:32.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Guess who's coming to dinner? It is at Riverside Center for the Performing Arts through September the 4th. Patrick Ahern here this morning, the producing artistic director at Riverside. Mark Lyons is here. He is Dr. John Prentice in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And Robert Biederman is here. I just look at you and I just think you really are a good Spencer Tracy.
Well, thank you.
You just, that's what I think of.
Yeah, he's dead.
In body.
Yes.
But not in
spirit. Not in spirit and soul. Not at all.
Mark, I get the feeling from you that this is a role that, Robert talked about, parts of this play that are real special to him. I think I get the same feeling that this is a role that you really are happy to have.
I love this role. I am absolutely in love with John. I fight for John. I advocate for John all the time, just in my head as I'm going through some of these lines. Like, why are you saying this? No, say what you really want to say. But I just love it. And then working off of Rachel every day, Rachel Pulley is just amazing. She plays Joanna. And I tell her all the time, it's easy to fall in love with her every day and understand why we're fighting for this. And then just the amazing cast that we have. It's great to walk in there every day and have the weight of this role and Sidney Poitier kind of like on your shoulders is scary enough. But then Patrick and just the entire team at Riverside has just embraced me. And it kind of eased the tension a little bit of, can I do this? Is this going to be, worthy of what the audience expect? Especially because, this is a role and this is a film that everyone resonates with. Everyone understands. And everyone has their own experience with this type of film. So coming to it, you just have to do it and go head first into it. And I think that's what I did with John. And I'm having fun with it. Robert has been great. He's a great buddy, a great mentor, sparring partner. And if you come see the show, you understand what I mean when I say that. Mm-hmm. But it's been really great playing off of all of these wonderful characters and individuals.
These kinds of shows are so interesting because there are parts here where you just sit there and you just, as an audience member, you just cringe or you get angry. I mean, I think the Jackie Robinson movie, the 42.
Yeah.
There are parts in that where you just can't believe what's being said. And it's the same here. You just think, no, don't think that. Don't say that.
I think, that's the scary responsibility we have as storytellers sometimes is to understand the people that we are representing when we're playing these roles. These are, tough scenarios and tough situations, but they're also very, very real. We were talking earlier about this is the same time frame around the Loving versus Virginia, verdict and case. And that's something that was present for these individuals that just fell in love. That's mm-hmm. all they did. Something that we all hope to do, want to do, have done. And there was a time period where you weren't allowed to do that. And that's crazy to think about now, but we still live in times where, you cannot be so open about love and the people you love, and you cannot be so vocal about it in certain settings and certain, family atmospheres. And so to go back in time to 1967 and understand the conversations that individuals were having about this very same subject that we're having today, it helps us hold a mirror to ourselves and ask ourselves, how far have we come? How far do we have to go? Do I believe that? Would I say that? What would I do mm-hmm. in that situation? I think that's the power of theater, is that you leave thinking. You laughed, you cried, but you also left with something on your heart and your mind that said, well, if that were me, what would I do? So I think that's the fun part about what we get to do every day, is we leave the audience thinking and guessing a little bit.
And you think about it, 1967, it wasn't that all that long ago.
Yeah, it was not. And we still have a long way to go, but I think I haven't seen the film in a while just because, I didn't want to get too comfortable with that. But it's something that still holds up. The message still holds up. The characters still hold up. We all know each and every individual that is represented in the film and represented on stage. But I find interesting that none of the characters are mean necessarily. They just have a different point of view. And I think that's what drives the show a lot, is that everyone has a different point of view and they have a different way of stating that point of view. So it's a nice soup. It's a nice gumbo. Basically, we're all just throwing in our own ingredients to it and just hoping something comes out good. Hopefully.
We talk about the ending, because you're, as I remember, I mean, you're just sitting on the couch listening. And I mean, you've kind of made you've stated what you want, and so you're, and I guess through that you're just kind of waiting to see what's said.
Yeah, just set up the dominoes and watch what happens when they fall down. Basically, Act Two is very tough emotionally, just because it is the roller coaster. Act One drives, you know, what we want to do, how we want to do it, and when we're going to do it. But then Act Two, you really have to pay attention to, you know, as the clock is ticking, and this all takes place in the setting of one day, which the stakes are really, really high, you know, and he's getting on this plane, and I use that as my motivation. You know, I have to get on the plane, I have to talk to this character, I have to talk to that character, I have to go here, I have to do that. And you can kind of see that in John's face throughout the show. It's, okay, but what do you want to do? Well, I understand how you feel, but what's your decision? And Robert plays that so great, because he, and it's not until a specific moment that you kind of know what he's leaning towards, because at one minute we're friends, one minute we're not friends. And then we kind of like each other, and then we don't like each other anymore. And that kind of yo-yos throughout the entire show.
Well, and Robert, in your case, you mentioned it a few minutes ago when in just talking about you lived through some of this. That as I remember, Spencer Tracy talks. I mean, he mentions about, you know, this. I kind of walked into this, and this has all been thrown at me. And
well, I grew up in I am one of the white privilege, an older white male now, but I grew up in a world where all my neighbors were white, and schools I went to were white. And the interesting thing is, in today's world, a lot of that still exists. The problem that I find that is not being brought out is everybody's trying to change another person as opposed to appreciate the difference. And I think that's where, if we just looked at a person and looked at them and say, okay, you're interesting, you have your own life, I have my own life, let's meld it together and find out, because we're all on the same planet together. And I don't know what the big fear is to find out about someone who is different. There are differences, sometimes visual, but the core is, and I think the best way to avoid all the external differences, face the person and look into their eyes. You won't see their differences anymore. If you look right into their person's eyes, and you'll find out who that person is. And it has oftentimes nothing to do with what they look like. And I think I don't want everybody to look the same. I don't want everybody to speak the same language, to cook the same food. I like differences. That's what I think we should nurture their differences and enjoy it. And it will really help the situation. And I think how the end result of the show is, I feel really good when I have made my decision, because I've gone into the person's eyes. When I make a decision, it's all into the eyes, and I don't see the differences between the two kids. I call them kids because they are kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a wonderful experience, and I go through the experience every show. The reality is still there every show, because I did not grow up in a mixed community.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I just know how it is in the movie. I've not seen the play yet. But, Mark, I look forward to seeing the first time one of the first times when you show up, when it's really mother and daughter, and mother's excited to hear about the boyfriend, and all of a sudden
I come through that door, and it's game on. it's the marathon begins there. It's like the gun goes off, and now we're off, and it doesn't stop until the last moments of the show. It's a roller coaster, truly, of emotions and feelings, and it's a lot.
We always say, Patrick, we'll say it again, don't wait. This is the kind of show you might want to see a few times.
Well, just based upon the audience reaction, our first performance a week ago, the audience was so with it. They were into it. And every audience, you know, I haven't watched it all the performances, but I've seen parts of it at different times. Every audience, I think, has been riveted by what's going on.
I wonder,
they're
because
invested.
Bright Star was like that at times, where you just looked around and nobody was moving. And no. I wondered if that was going to be the same with this.
Yeah. And they pick up on the humor. That's what's great, too, you know, because it's a drama, but there's quite a bit of comedy.
There is,
You know, in it. And it really is funny when you think about it. And, the word of mouth on the show is terrific. I mean, people have been, you know, we had a staff meeting yesterday and our marketing director was reporting on the percentages of increase on this and increase on that and the comments. That's why you bring up tickets. You know, don't wait till the last couple of weeks to come and see the show. You come now. And I say so many times, there's so much repeat business lately at Riverside. People come and see it and they want to see it one more time, you know. Mm-hmm. So give yourself the opportunity to come in and experience what some people who have never been to Riverside before come for the first time and they're blown away by what we do, you know. I'm very proud of what we continue to strive for, our artistic excellence at Riverside.
Oh, it is. You look at what's been going on, and this just follows in the line. And like you said earlier, of the director saying, the people that need to be, the people are in this show that are supposed to be here, and I see that this morning.
Yeah. And the other thing that's very exciting to me, to be able to create a family of talented, nice people. Every time I bring somebody in, like now Mark, it's okay. Now what can I do with them next? You know, because it's you've got those people in your. I hate to use the word stable, but they're in your stock of you know. It's nice to have that to when you're casting a season or thinking about different things that you want to do. We're really truly blessed with having Hollendas and Biedermans and you know, and the newcomers such as Mark.
How'd you find Mark?
he came up.
Or did he find you?
No. I found him. You know me. I don't settle. I'm going to find what I need to find. But I think I spoke to a friend of mine who had seen you do it before. At Ivoryton.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so I went online and looked it up and found him and then just reached out, you know, and there you have it. Yeah. So I think good people find other good people. So,
yeah.
Of course, Robert will probably say, well, he's not always good, but I mean, but I try to be, Ted.
this is a show to see. Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, tourstaffordva.com. Riverside Center for the Performing Arts. And guess who's coming to dinner through September 4th, 370-4300. If you want to jump on the phone and get some tickets today, or riversidedt.com. We'll wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
This is one of those shows you don't want to end. You'd like to go on for a couple more hours. Great stuff this morning with Robert Biederman, Mark Lyons, and Patrick Ahern, Riverside Center for the Performing Arts. And guess who's coming to dinner? Only just a few minutes left. Robert, before this show started, I'm sure this is the kind of show that you all got together and talked about the subject matter, I would think, before you got into this.
Well, when we had our first rehearsals, you're talking about?
Yeah.
It was Dr. Gonzalez, the director, she's amazing. She really, we had round tables, and the tables were actually round. And we would sit, and she would throw a little carrot in the middle of the table. And she didn't realize who was going to grab it next and see what their past brings up. And we talked about all kinds of things that we've experienced in our childhood and in our education, and how the race relations either were there or not there, but they're always there but sometimes we don't just know that, that they are aware. Mm. I think the biggest thing that I've learned in the, my latter years is the phrase, the good old days. Not many groups of people can use that phrase. Hmm. The Native Americans will never say the good old days. The blacks will never say good old days. There are many other groups of people who will not say the good old days. So who are the people that are saying the good old days, if they reflect to those days and really reflect, look at the other communities around those days and see how good it was for them. So it was a revelation that how I grew up may not have been, well, I know it wasn't. It wasn't the reality of the world. And I actually say the phrase in the show, I know the reality of the world. Well, obviously, I don't.
Yeah.
So I love the show. I love working with the two kids. I call them the kids. My daughter is amazing, Rachel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the relationship between the two of them is just so light. And just so wonderful. And it's all based on true love. And it's refreshing. And it's a reminder that anybody of any maturity had that fresh love between their partner. And sometimes after decades of being together, some of that's washed away, and it shouldn't be. It should be constantly reminded, this is how we started, and we should end this way. We should really have the same kind of a love and affection. It might be physically different, but the romance, you're never too old to be romantic.
Mark, you strike me, and I wish we had more time to even get into this, but you seem to really appreciate the role and just the history behind this but just relish what you can do with it today.
Absolutely. I think Robert said it best that at the end of the day, it's just about love. So you have to walk in there and just truly let love drive you the whole way through. And I think that has been the most amazing thing. And especially as a cast and as an ensemble, we've all fallen in love with each other. I fall in love with Robert every day. And I think that that is what makes the magic and the beauty of the show so amazing. And I think audiences will feel that from us every single time they're sitting out there. They just feel the love just really radiating around us, and also amongst themselves. You're going to leave there feeling a little lighter. You leave there singing. We walk off stage singing after the curtain call, because it's all about love at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, thank you both for what you're bringing to this community, what you're bringing to Riverside. This is such an important show at this time, and you both have embraced it, and I can't wait to see it, and hope a lot of people just pack out Riverside from now until September 4th.
They better, Ted, because they don't know what they're missing. So
through September 4th, riversidedt.com, 370-4300, Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, tourstaffordva.com. Thank you all. Patrick, thank you. You and
always
I have a podcast now.
Yes.
Go to the Riverside Facebook page, and you can see our podcast, Sally Struthers' podcast.
Yeah.
Will air tomorrow. So.
Good. Great.
Thank you all. We'll see you
soon.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.